The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix podcast. Tune in today.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air.
Nau mai, haere mai, whakatau mai rā, he kōna e pūrangi tēnei, e pāna ki te ao Māori me te ao hurihuri. I'm Leonie Hayden. This is a podcast about being Māori in the modern world. We talk a lot about our connection to whenua, but most of us live away from our ancestral lands. Today's question, who are we if we never go home? Welcome to Nair. A lot of us use phrases like back home and going home to refer to our marae, our tūranga waewae, our pā, where a lot of our whānau live, but it's often a place we've never lived. I whakapapa to Kaipara, to Kakanui, and I have whānau who live out there. Lots of my cousins were raised there, but most of my generation weren't. On our whenua, there's only a handful of houses, so if anyone wants to go home for good, they either have to move in with Auntie Hornet or jolly well build the place first. And with so many of us living paycheck to paycheck, home ownership is a pipe dream, more and more with every passing year, whānau land or no. And this is why Auckland has the largest Māori population. About a quarter of us live in Tāmaki Makaurau. And in the 50 years between 1936 and 1986, the Māori population changed from 83% rural to 83% urban. Now that's a massive rate of urbanisation. And of course we know why. It was our people venturing further into te ao to find a better place for their whānau after the war and after extractive industries exploited the people in the whenua and the ngāhere. Villages like Pangaru and Hokianga, they ripped the gum from the trees and the timber from the earth and then left. And the people left behind were left with much less than they had before. In her excellent book, Pangaru and the City, historian Melissa Matutina-Williams talks about the term urban drift. And from Hokianga, at least, she says the migration to the city was highly organised, because of course it was. Whānau wanted economic security and they wanted education, and they couldn't get it at home because the government we'd all been forced to live under didn't give a crap about resourcing those communities. It's kind of like that Goldie painting, The Arrival of the Maoris in New Zealand, that shows a raft with these starving Māori on it washing ashore in Aotearoa, which made people think for hundreds of years that we got here by accident and not because our people were legendary navigators that knew exactly where they were going. And urban drift also sort of implies that we meandered around until we got to Auckland and found some work. And of course, it makes much more sense that it would be a well-organised, well-planned, highly resourced expedition, or many years' worth of expeditions. And whānau had to make sacrifices. You had to rely on the whānau that had gone ahead, who found a whare for you to live in, and the whole community pitched in to make sure you got there safely. Now, Melissa goes on to call that new place a coexistent home place. And we know that Māori came from all over the motu to Tāmaki and Pōneke, and they found each other and made communities and community spaces, even built new marae, while making sure those connections to home were really strong still. And now, many generations later, those connections for a lot of whānau may not be as strong anymore. And the new home, the coexistent home place, is for many of us the only home place, with the occasional visit back to the other home for tangi. This is an episode that might throw up more questions than answers, and that's okay. You know, these are complex issues, such as what are our connections to the whenua that we've never lived on, and what do we mean by going home? When we put down roots for, say, two generations or more outside the lands we whakapapa to, what are our connections to that whenua and what are our obligations to mana whenua there? Should the end goal always be to go home, preferably while you're still alive? And if not, then how do you contribute to home? How do we reconcile that connection to land with our history as navigators and migrants? So coming up, we talk to a couple of people about leaving home and going home. The following conversation is in Te Reo Māori between Matua Joe Pihima and Te Kuru Jews. They're having a chat about our responsibilities to mana whenua and how to be good manuhiri. And then after that, Miriana Te Kuru and myself will be joined by our special guest, Karen Leaf, who's been having some life-changing wānanga with her whānau recently about moving home. Hei a kua nei, we'll see you after the break.
Tēnā koutou e ngā kaiwhakarongo kua piri mai nei ki tēnei hōtaka ki a nē. Kua tatū mai nei te rangatira nei a Joe Pihima o Ngāti Whātua. E te rangatira, e te matua, e te hoa. Nau mai.
Tēnā koe e te kuru o tira e mihi kau ana ki ngā kaiwhakarongo o te motu e hono mai nei ki tēnei kaupapa kānui te mihi.
Mō te hunga kāre pea i te mōhio i o takenga, nōhea, nāwai, i tipu ake koe ihea.
He māma noiho tērā kōrero, kotahi anake taku iwi ko Ngāti Whātua, i tupu mai au i tēnei takiwa, i te whare tapu o Tupiriri, me ki i Tāmaki Makaurau, koia nei taku papakāinga, koia nei te wāhi i tangata i ahau. Hoi anō, ka mārena ahau i tētahi putiputi no te Tairāwhiti, ka haunuku atu, nō reira, no Ngāti Whātua, no tēnei takiwā o Tāmaki Makaurau.
Koera, hei kaupapa kōrero, hei upoko kōrero, mā tāua i te rā nei. Hea ho o ake whiako, taua whiako rā te noho ki te rohe o iwi kē.
Nōku tō e marie, e tūtaki ai ahau ki taku wahine kia te wāhuia, tāngira i te rāwā. He tāngira, he kerekere i takia mai i ngā iwi o te whānau āpanui, te heitanga māhaki me ngai tahu. Nāna taku ngā kau i kapo a ka tahira ka whaiwhakaaro māua kia hūnuku atu ki tōna rohe ki Tūranga Nui Akiwa i te mei tūtaki rā māua i konei i Tāmaki no reira. Ai, koia te timatanga o taku hi koetanga nuitanga ki roto o iwi kē. When you move into another rohe, you've really got to have an attitude of gratitude, I think, but also have a healthy respect. You know, me whakaute nui te tangata ki tērā tangata whenua ki ērā mana nui o taua takiwa. Me ngana koe ki te ako i ngā hitoria. Me ngana koe ki te rapu-rapu i ngā kōrero e pai ai, e haumaru ai tō noho i wainga i ngā tāngata whenua, i ngā mana o tērā takiwa. When you go into a world that's so rich with culture like the Tairāwhiti and then me living in Tūranga Nui Akiwa, you quickly learn to be very humble and very quiet and very small. Eyes open, ears open, and I developed a healthy appetite for learning the local histories of Tūranga. And I'm quite proud to say that as a rāwaho, as a hunaonga, I try to, at most times, know the kōrero or at least have a healthy knowledge of the local kōrero because, one, that just shows respect to the local people. And two, it was a part of the responsibility that I had to be able to share with my wife and passing that knowledge on to my children. No point going and living in amongst Aitanga Mahagi, but not really, learning anything about them. And so I made it part of my life and my journey to always have my ears open and, getting to know people who were the knowledge holders of the Mahaki kōrero. These are people like, again, my wife's grandfather, Wiramu Kirikiri, and then John Ruru and Charlie Pera and just a whole lot of other kaumātu and kuia, just getting to know them and them sharing kōrero. It was really a healthy respect, nothing more, not for anything for me to gain personally, but to know who the local people were and to also be able to share part of that kōrero with my children. I have seen people go into Tūranga, Rāwaho, and, you know, married in Hunaonga like myself, and kāre rātou I pakuaro. Ki ngā kōrero, kāre rātou I pakuaro, ki ngā taira, ki ngā tikanga o taua takiwa. And I think, you know, you've really got to just understand that when you're not in your own kingdom, you really have to, you know, really whakaiti yourself and just learn how to live like the Romans do, eh? You know, so when in Tūranga, you know, you just live like the Tūranga people do. And so I was very, very grateful to them. They were patient with me. They took a long, you know, particularly with the Kapahaka fraternity in Tūranga. You know, I wasn't a great singer, wasn't a great haka person, you know, people took the time and took an interest in me to say, hey, come in and be a part of our whānau and we'll help you to, you know, learn who we are, and then maybe one day you might feel a sense of belonging, which I did, because after 25 years being in Waihirere Kapahaka and being in and around the traps of Tūranga and Tairawhiti, I've got a lot of enduring friendships and very close, people who I hold dear to me who come from Ngāti Porou. And, you know, I just have to thank them all because that was part of the journey that that became me in the end. It became my journey and it created this person who came home with a lot more value. I went away as a young man, and I came back, I think, a more mature and probably a little bit wiser too in terms of my time in Tūranga. But, yeah, really important. You've got to have a very open mind and an open heart, but, you know, ko te tuatahi me te whakamutunga, ko te whakaiti, me whakaiti, me whakaiti, I ngā wā katoa.
Kua hoki koe ki Tāmaki, ki tō Tūranga Waiwai. Hea hai hoki ai koe ki reira. Why did you decide to head back to Tāmaki Makaurau?
He nui no te karanga me ki o te kāinga ki au. Ko iera ko te moke moke e huri huri ana i roto i takupuku ki o hoki au ki te kāinga. Yeah, I really wanted to come home because I just felt the calling of the kāinga. And I'd been away, you know, for quite a long time and just watching my iwi on television, on, you know, marae or te karere or Māori television, it was really hard for me, and the emotions were quite high when I'd see a number of major events, and, you know, these were quite historical events like the signing of our settlement in 2012 and other kaupapa, and having to watch them on television was quite, you know, quite tough. And so I think probably around about 2015, 2016, I whai wāhi a hau I rungi te Pwari Matua o Ngāti Whātu o Rākei. Kuia me ki te huringa o te tai mō tēnei me te hoki ki te kāinga. Kātahi ka taka te whakaaro. Oh, tēnā pē me pānga waiwai ki ōku nei whenua ki te papakāinga, ki a kitea, nuitia e taku iwi, a hau nei me taku hia hia ki te āwhina I te hapuri. So I did, I was lucky enough to be a member of the trust board, and that was around 2015, 2016, and it was really, you know, about me having to get home and be seen. People had voted for me, and they'd probably taken a punt that I could contribute at a governance and strategic level. But I just felt it wasn't good enough to me, for me being a remote kind of, you know, dial in or fly in kind of governor or board member. really for me it was important to be accessible to my people and to be, you know, just be a part of some of these events and the rebuilding, I think, is a real big part too. We were going through a really big retooling, rebuilding stage, which we are continuing to at the moment, and I wanted to be a part of that. So, I started making the move home on my own to begin with, and then my whānau followed me not long after. So it's been a wonderful coming home. And, you know, again, I come back to Tāmaki with the value of the experiences and the mātauranga and knowledge it was, given that I was a part of in terms of wānanga and the Tairawhiti. And it's influenced a whole lot of my thinking. It's influenced a lot of how I behave. And I think it's really important too that people should get out of their own kāinga. You know, me noho tawhiti koe I etahi wai tō kāinga. Kia rongo koe, kia kite koe I etahi āhuatanga hou, I etahi āhuatanga rereke I era I tō kāinga. Kia mōhio koe, anei te ao Māori e hurihuri ana, e tupu mai ana. Pai ana wē nā kōrero, pai ana wē nā kaupapa. Hei, whakahoki ki te kāinga. You know, so you don't get that by being in your fishbowl at home. Although I do have a lot of aroha, and at times I'm, you know, I'm a little bit harawene, a bit jealous of those people who are happy to live in their little neck of the wood, you know, from the cradle to the grave, and they just do their thing, and I think that's beautiful. But for me, being a person who had to try and contribute to a range of activities and a range of thinking in my hapu, it was important for me to bring a number of experiences and different views to the table, which I think I do only because I lived in the Tairawhiti.
How do taurahere living in Tāmaki, how can they support Ngāti Whātua?
O tuatahi rā, mēnā he taurahere, mēnā e hono atu ana koe ki tō iwi, e mohi ana koe ki o kōrero, puritia. Puritia o kōrero kia au, puritia o kōrero kia mau. Kau e whakarerea o kōrero, kau e whakarerea o tikanga, puritia. Hold fast to your traditions. That's what I say to our taurahere. To our taurahere from kaitahu, puritia e rā kōrero o tō iwi, o tō takiwa. And the same with every other rohe. And, be true to yourself. However, within the, you know, i roto i tō, tō noho ki roto o Tāmaki ki tētahi o ngā taone nui. Ahakoa ka pupuri koe ki o kōrero, ka pupuri koe ki o tikanga. Kei reira, kia maumaharatia, kei reira te tangata whenua o te rā takiwa. Kai aia, kai taua tangata whenua, kai aia te mana o te whenua. Nō reira, kia mōhio, kia māramara e rā taurahire. He tangata whenua kei reira. Just to remember that, hold fast to your traditions, but also be cognizant that there are tangata whenua who are always, there to maintain their traditions over the over that rohe, that takiwa. And how can they help taurahere? By just being good taurahere and maintaining, you know, their own traditions, but I think not becoming a burden or not becoming a barrier to the local tangata whenua carrying out their own traditions and carrying out their own responsibilities and maintaining, you know, their own mana over their own takiwa. And so that's how I think taurahere and rāwaho become people who local tangata whenua can, you know, find some natural alignments and alliances with, is by, you know, not becoming a burden and not becoming a group who actually are a barrier to the local tangata whenua carrying out their responsibilities, their host responsibilities too, because that's where we also come into contact, is how can I manaaki you in terms of you being here in Tāmaki, living within the whare tapu o Tupariri, and how can we help you, taurahere, to be more comfortable and feel a sense of belonging whilst you're living here within our whenua. Yeah, I think it's simple. We just have a healthy respect for each other.
E whakaute. Tēnā koe, Matua, e te rangatira e te hoa, e iera kōrero i ngā mātauranga, kua kura mahora i te rānei, hei aha, hei whāngai, i a ngai Māori e noho ana ki o rātou ake rohe, o tira ki te hunga e noho ana ki ngā rohe o iwi kē. Thank you, Matua, thank you for your kōrero today.
Ngā mihi.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Hello, for lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Hoki mai anō, our manuhiri today is Karen Leaf, nō ngā puhi, te rārawa, me Aitutaki hoki. Karen is a mama of two young bubs, a Māori health worker working in the first ever Māori breastfeeding team. She's also a proud urban Māori growing up in GI, now living in Pōneke for the last 10 years, who is planning an amazing move home with her whānau. Kia ora, Karen. Nau mai.
Kia ora.
Nau mai hoa. So glad to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
So we'll just start a little bit about where you grew up. GI, ne? What was it like growing up there?
Ah, there's no words. It was a challenge. I grew up with my single mama and my siblings. I'm three generations to be brought up in GI. So my whānau moved down around the time of the war from Pangaru, and they settled in GI in the surrounding suburbs. So we pretty hearty to East Auckland. And yeah, it's been a journey, an experience.
But I love how you rep it so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, hashtag GI till I die, like, all day. Yeah. I actually use that in all of my bios.
So a lot of those families that have been in GI for a long time, some people call it regeneration, some people call it gentrification of GI. What are your thoughts around what is happening in your area?
I think there's many thoughts. I've really had to, since moving down to Pōneke, I've really had struggled to reconcile feelings about being brought up in GI and being far from home and not being a part of the hands-on gentrification of our whānau, the removal of whare, the protests outside whare. Yeah, it was really difficult. I was raised by a single parent and the community of GI were my whānau, and so I was brought up having the dinners at the community centre before there was a te oro art event. Mm. I was at the library. I was at Ruapotika Marae. I was in those spaces, and to be so abruptly removed from that environment due to many social whānau challenges was really mamai, and still to this day, like, I rep GI with such passion and heart, but I feel like being far from GI has made me love GI more, knowing that I will never be able to go home. Hmm. I will never be able to buy the whare that I grew up in, because now it's all these townhouses mixed with rich whānau, poor whānau have moved out south, and it's just not the same. And so, when I rep GI, I think I speak to the GI of my childhood. Mm. I speak to the GI where you can get tuna from the awa, where my dad can walk through Glendowie fields and just pick up a tuna on the way to dropping the kids to school. And nowadays you don't get any of that.
Did you ever get the sense that that was potentially how your tūpuna, your grandparents, felt when they had to leave Pangaru? Do you know much about the sort of that migration of your whānau to GI?
Yeah, definitely. my auntie, who is the eldest of my dad's siblings, had memories of growing up in Te Karaka in a mud house. Mm. They had a mud floor. They would go with their little dinghy with one motor around the corner to Rangi Point to go to the kura, and then Papa would pick them up and bring them back home. And my eldest brother, who's 45, he has memories of going back to Pangaru and walking through muddy fields to go take in Tangihana to take the tupapaku to the whenua. And it was just a different time. Now, most of my dad's siblings moved down to Tamaki when my grandfather went to the war. And my dad's siblings all had this silent agreement that when they returned home to Te Karaka, that was the final place that they would go. And so, yeah, I think there's been mixed feelings for my whānau with my dad's siblings and that generation now returning home, and what that means for their uri, for their descendants who remain in urban spaces.
Mm. And is that still the kaupapa? Is that still what your dad, obviously, which we will talk about soon, but, you know, his siblings, are they all still going home, or are they choosing, you know, to be put laid to rest at GI?
Most of them have making plans to go home. You know, that whakaro that was shared amongst with our kaumātua to our whānau is that you go to the city, you go to the big smoke, you go get education, you go get a good paying job, but you get that knowing that you're going to come home and bring back to your people. And I think for my whānau, I see that in my dad's siblings, is that they've gone, got their educations, started businesses, bought properties, you know, and they've all shifted back home into that direction. And whether that's by choice, whether that's by just mamai challenges, they've all just naturally navigated back home.
That's cool though, eh? Because it's so often, you know, I saw a post on Facebook the other day, and they were talking about how pody it is that so many of our people, you know, they get poached to the big cities and then they don't come home until, you know, they've passed. And I think that if more of our people brought our skills home, started businesses at home, then we would have communities to come home to. Mm. And that's what you're planning on doing, eh, Ihua?
Yeah, man, my 5-year plan.
Oi, tell us all about it.
I think it's more become my 5-year plan that I've just told my sister and my dad that this is what we're going to do. I have 4 siblings in my whānau, and my sister and I are the main leaders in reclaiming a lot of our mātauranga. And so it's really hard for my sister and I to journey that decol experience and go back into our whānau and be like, hey, look, it's gangster to be Māori. And so, I think my sister and I just infect each other with our own desires to move back home and what that looks like. So, I've been sitting in Wananga and planning a lot about my 5-year plan. I've been talking about going home for the longest time, and it I felt more of a push when I had my son to return home. And so, this year I really wanted to really commit to that and follow that through. Mm. And so it has 5 points to my 5-year plan. My first one is to secure land back. Mm. So I stayed up north over the 2020 lockdown. I was on my papa kāinga living my best papa kāinga life. Engari, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Hey, I would wake up, go and gather harakeke from the ngahere, weave, get raupo, make some bread, go up the maunga, go into the untouched ngahere. I was living that true vision of my life back home, but then I was also dealing with the raru of being in a papa kāinga experience, having different personalities. The auntie who just gets hoha everybody, or the kids that just won't shush. And so I think we really romanticize to the idea of moving back home into your home, and you're like, actually, I like being by myself. Yeah. I think being urban Māori is really isolating. Yeah. And I think we're so used to being isolated that when we're in a papa kāinga setting that we like, you know, really talk up and romanticize the idea of it, when we're sitting in it, actually you realize, oh, I don't get along with auntie over there.
Yeah.
Actually, she talks too much smack. Actually, I don't like the culture of all of this. And it really was that. And so it was the best time of my life, but also the most challenging. And so in our 5-year plan, we want to buy back whenua that we already whakapapatu. Yeah.
But own it in the sort of Pākehā sense with an individual title. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's so many shareholders. Like, we sat in so many hui, land hui, with all of the thousands of shareholders to try to secure yourself a little spot and part of that. And then it just gets filtered. And because no one's going home, it just becomes heaps of raru. It becomes such a challenge for us who really want to return home and be a kaitiaki of the whenua. And so phase one of our 5-year plan is saving up a deposit for buying our land back that we whakapapa to. And if we buy whenua of another iwi, having in our plan how we're going to honour mana whenua, what we're going to do if we're going to have that whenua for X amount of time, and when we die, we pass that whenua on to mana whenua.
Oh, nah, that's responsible.
I think it was really important for us to think like that. I think when we think of land back, whose land are we buying back? Whose land are we wanting back? Is it our tūturu ukaipō, or is it the nice farmyard acres in Hawke's Bay?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and so I think it's really important for us, especially our whānau who already have whenua, to acknowledge that mana whenua really want that.
What are your thoughts on, I'm keen to know about, you know, owning land in a Pākehā sense, land that you whakapapa to, but you have a mortgage for, say, whether that can still be your tūranga waiwai. Because this was something, my mum was in a reo course, and the whenua that we're on is land we whakapapa to, but is in Pākehā title. And her kaiako said, oh, you can't say, nor this Hauwai is the name of the farm, you can't say nor Hauwai aho, because that's not Māori land. And I just think that's crap. Like, I don't think we should be putting parameters around, if you whakapapa to that whenua, no matter what the piece of paper looks like, kei te pai. But yeah, how do you sort of, where do you sit with that?
I definitely let my tūpuna guide me on that. Like, our wairua, I think it has to be confirmed in the physical, like, if I tōtō back to that whenua, but also how I feel on that whenua, if that whenua responds to me. I went home, so I whakapapa to Waimate, and our mihaka whānau were married into that whakapapa line who whakapapa to Waimate and the Hokianga. And I remember talking to my uncle, and he said, oh, bub, it's cool that you're here, but you don't really whakapapa here, you know? You whakapapa to Whirinaki. That's where the leaf whānau are from. You're only brought in through the marriage bloodlines. You're not like tūturu to this whenua. And I was just like, who are you to say that? Like, I appreciate that there's order and hierarchy to this stuff, but what I've experienced in this whenua has been incredible. Like, that piece of whenua was the first time that I ever spoke on the marae at parawhenua, and all I said was my name and my pepeha in Māori, but I felt myself fall into the whenua and was held by all my tūpuna. And while I continued to stay up there during lockdown, that just reinforced it even more. My tūpuna were sending manu to my to our little cabin every single day. There were tohu in the clouds, like everything. Like, the whenua was speaking to me, and we were responding to each other. But for my uncle to be like, oh, nah, paper wise, you don't, like, you're only connected in through marriage, felt like I was just refused my whakapapa to this place and denied it. And it felt like he was denying me, who was wanting to come home and connect and to honour my responsibility to this whenua. And so I think it's, for me and how I've navigated that moving forward, has just been like asking my tūpuna, if my whānau, tinana, don't want to support me on that journey, then I ask for my tūpuna to show me where and how I need to go. Yeah, but it's a hard one.
Yeah.
Kia ora, pai tera, pai te whakaaro, he nui te whakaaro. Thank you so much for joining us. I found that, like, really enlightening. I'm really stoked for your whānau that you guys are on that journey to find your way home. Thank you so much for joining us today on our little potty. That was Karen Leaf. Huge mahi to you. A huge mahi to our producer, Te Aihe Butler. Thank you, Ehoa. We've been near. You can find us on Instagram, Te Ao Māori Podcast, or on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're going to see you again in 2 weeks' time. Hei a kua nei koutou. Ka kite.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air and brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network. It was hosted and researched by Leonie Hayden, with Te Kuru Jews and Mariana Johnson. Nair was produced by Te Aihe Butler, with senior production from Jane Yee and project management from Mark Kelleher. Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.